All right, get ready, because today we're going on a bit of a treasure hunt.
I like treasure hunts.
Through the Bible.
Sounds fun.
You sent us this really fascinating lecture by Dr. Dave Matthewson all about how the New Testament uses the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
And it's like discovering this secret code hidden in plain sight.
Yeah, it really is. So there are so many layers of meaning kind of woven through the New Testament, connecting back to the Old in ways that can completely change how you understand a text.
Right.
It's like realizing your favorite book has this whole hidden backstory.
Totally. Okay, so we're working with Dr. Matthewson's lecture on hermeneutics, specifically lecture 24.
Right.
Which focuses on the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah.
He breaks down the ways the New Testament uses the Old Testament into three main categories.
Okay.
Direct quotations, allusions, and echoes.
That's right. And it's helpful to think of these like a spectrum.
Okay.
You have those direct quotes that are pretty obvious. And then it moves towards more subtle connections like allusions and echoes.
Okay. Let's start with those direct quotations then.
Okay.
I feel like I can usually spot those, but is there more to them than meets the eye?
Absolutely. While they might seem straightforward at first glance, sometimes the context of the quote in the Old Testament is completely different from how it's used in the New Testament.
Okay.
That's what makes it so fascinating.
Interesting.
It's not just a copy and paste job.
Right, right.
There's more to it.
Like, I see what you mean. It's like sampling a song.
Exactly.
In a new track.
Uh-huh.
The original melody is there, but it takes on a whole new meaning.
Yes.
Dr. Matthewson actually gives a really interesting example of this with Matthew 2.15.
Yes. Right. Matthew 2.15 uses the phrase, "Out of Egypt I called my son," to refer to Jesus.
Right.
And it's a direct quote from Hosea 11.1.
Okay.
But here's the catch.
Yeah.
In Hosea, that line is talking about the nation of Israel, not a specific individual.
Okay. That's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So how does that even work?
Yeah.
Is Matthew taking the quote out of context?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
This is where the concept of typological use comes into play.
Okay.
It's this idea that events or patterns in the Old Testament prefigure or foreshadow what's to come in Christ.
So it's not just a random connection. It's like God is intentionally setting up these patterns in the Old Testament.
That's exactly it.
That point forward to Jesus.
Think of it like this.
Okay.
God protected both sons in Egypt, Israel, and Jesus.
Okay.
But Jesus, as the fulfillment of Israel's destiny, takes that protection to a cosmic level.
Wow.
He's not just being saved from physical harm.
Right.
He's saving all humanity from sin and death.
Right.
And Matthew is highlighting that connection by using that specific quote.
Wow, that makes you look at those familiar stories.
It does.
In a whole new light.
Yeah.
So we've got these direct quotations, which often point to a deeper typological connection.
Mm-hmm.
What about allusions? Dr. Matthewson describes them as being more subtle.
Right, yeah.
How do we spot those?
Allusions are more like a tapestry of Old Testament language, imagery, or concepts woven into the New Testament text.
Okay.
They're not direct quotes.
Yeah.
But if you're familiar with the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
you'll start to pick up on these subtle echoes.
Okay.
It's like a secret handshake.
I love that.
For those in the know.
It makes you want to brush up on your Old Testament knowledge.
It does.
So you can be part of the club.
Exactly.
Dr. Matthewson mentions Ephesians 1:28-22.
Yeah.
As a great example of this.
Yes. That passage is packed with allusions to Psalm 110 and Psalm 8, even though it doesn't directly quote them.
Okay.
The way Paul describes Christ being seated at the right hand of God and having all things under his feet.
Right.
Those images are taken straight from those songs,
mm-hmm.
and they evoke those themes of power and authority.
So what does this allusion tell us? Is Paul just trying to sound poetic, or is there a deeper meaning here?
It's definitely more than just pretty language.
Right.
By alluding to these psalms, Paul is connecting Jesus to this rich tradition of kingship and dominion that we find in the Old Testament.
Right.
He's saying that Jesus is the ultimate king.
Yeah.
The one who reigns over all creation.
Right.
And this connection wouldn't be as clear
if
we weren't aware of those Old Testament allusions.
Okay, so allusions add layers of meaning and connect the New Testament to those deeper Old Testament themes.
Yes.
But what about those echoes you mentioned? Those sound even more elusive.
Echoes are the faintest whispers of the Old Testament.
Interesting.
Sometimes it's just a word or a phrase that seems to resonate with something from the Old Testament.
Okay.
But it's hard to know for sure if it's intentional.
So it's like hearing a familiar melody in a new song?
Exactly.
But you're not sure if the artist meant to include it or if it's just a coincidence.
Dr. Mathewson brings up a great example from Philippians 1.99, where Paul says, "What has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance."
Yeah.
This sounds very similar to Job 13.1 sin, "But he will save me, my deliverer."
Oh, okay.
But it's difficult to say with certainty if Paul is deliberately referencing Job,
all right,
or if it's just an echo in his mind.
So even if we can't be sure if the echo is intentional,
right,
it still adds a layer of depth and meaning to the text, right? It's like,
and that's the beauty of it.
These connections are inviting us to consider how different parts of the Bible might be speaking to each other, even across centuries.
Even those subtle echoes can spark our imaginations,
yeah,
and lead us to new insights.
Yeah.
They show us that the Bible isn't just a collection of isolated texts.
Yeah.
It's a tapestry of interconnected stories, themes, and ideas.
I like that. And that's where the idea intertextuality comes in.
Yeah.
The fancy word.
It is.
But it basically means that we can't fully understand a text without considering its connections to other texts.
That's right.
So in other words, we need to think of the Bible as a conversation.
Exactly.
With different voices speaking to each other across time.
And that's what makes it so exciting. It's not just about what the original authors intended.
Right.
It's about how those texts continue to speak to us today, how they connect with our own experiences and shape our understanding of God and the world.
This is all so fascinating. But I have to admit, it feels a bit daunting.
Yeah.
How do we even begin to identify these connections ourselves?
All right.
Dr. Mathewson does give some practical tips in his lecture, right?
He does. And they're surprisingly easy to apply.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Right.
Give me the inside scoop.
Right.
What's the first step on our treasure hunt?
He suggests starting with a good study Bible or commentary.
Okay.
These resources often point out Old Testament connections that you might not catch on your own.
Yeah.
It's like having a seasoned explorer as your guide.
Right, yeah.
I've got somebody to lead the way.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about when we're flying solo? What kind of clues should we be looking for as we read?
Well, pay close attention to the language being used. Are there any words or phrases that seem unusual or stand out?
Okay.
Those could be hints that the author is drawing on an Old Testament image or concept.
Okay.
Also, look for repeated themes or patterns.
Okay.
Sometimes a New Testament author will weave together multiple Old Testament references to create a more complex tapestry of meaning.
So it's like those Where's Waldo pictures.
Not exactly.
Where you have to look for those hidden details and connections.
And don't be afraid to dig a little deeper.
Okay.
If you come across a word or phrase that seems significant,
okay,
take a few minutes to look up its meaning in a Bible dictionary or concordance.
Yeah.
You might be surprised by what you discover.
All right. I'm feeling inspired to put on my detective hat and start searching for clues.
Right.
But I think seeing some real-life examples would be super helpful.
Sure.
Dr. Mathewson does dive into some specifics in his lecture, right?
He does.
Okay.
And trust me, they're eye-opening.
Okay.
He starts with Matthew chapter 2,
okay,
which we briefly touched on earlier, and uncovers a whole network of Old Testament echoes woven throughout the narrative.
Oh, I'm intrigued. We talked about that one direct quote,
right,
about out of Egypt I called my son. But what other connections did he find?
Well, he points out that the entire story of Jesus's birth and early childhood in Matthew 2 parallels the Exodus story.
Wait, seriously? Like Moses and the Israelites escaping from Egypt? How did I miss that?
It's subtle.
Yeah.
But once you see it,
right,
it's hard to unsee it.
Okay.
Think about it. You have a baby boy whose life is threatened by a powerful ruler.
Right.
Pharaoh in the Exodus story.
Yeah.
Herod and Matthew.
Yeah.
You have a desperate flight to safety.
Okay.
The Israelites fleeing Egypt.
Right.
Mary and Joseph fleeing to Egypt.
Yeah.
And then you have a triumphant return.
Yeah.
The Israelites entering the promised land.
Uh-huh.
Jesus returning to Nazareth.
Okay, you're right. The parallels are definitely there.
It's all there, just subtly woven into the narrative.
But is it just a coincidence?
That's a great question.
Stories about threatened babies and escapes to safety aren't exactly unique.
Yeah.
Why do you think Matthew would intentionally draw those parallels between Jesus and Moses?
It's possible that Matthew is using those echoes to present Jesus as a new Moses.
Okay.
A new deliverer for his people.
Okay.
Think about the impact that would have had on his original audience.
Okay.
Many of whom would have been Jewish Christians familiar with the Exodus story.
Right.
It would have been a powerful way of saying, hey, this Jesus is the one we've been waiting for. He's the fulfillment of God's promises.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this changes the whole game.
Uh-huh.
It's not just a story about a baby's birth.
Right.
It's a proclamation of Jesus as the ultimate deliverer.
Exactly.
The one who sets his people free from the slavery of sin.
And the connections go even deeper.
Okay.
Dr. Mathewson points out that even seemingly insignificant details like the star over Bethlehem might be loaded with meaning.
Mm.
He suggests that it could be an allusion to Balaam's oracle in Numbers 24.17, where he talks about a star rising out of Jacob.
So even that tiny detail is like a breadcrumb leading us back to the Old Testament.
Exactly.
What about those wise men who show up bearing gifts?
Right.
They always seemed a bit random to me.
They do, don't they? But Dr. Mathewson suggests that Matthew might be intentionally drawing on Isaiah 60 here.
Okay.
A passage that talks about the nations bringing their wealth and honor to the restored Jerusalem.
So those wise men, these foreigners from the east,
yeah,
are like a foreshadowing of the Gentiles coming to worship Jesus. It's as if Matthew is saying that Jesus' arrival is the beginning of God's plan to bring salvation to all nations, not just to Israel.
Precisely.
This is incredible. Matthew is packing so much meaning into just a few chapters.
It is.
I'm starting to feel like an archaeologist unearthing a hidden city.
It's amazing.
Each layer we uncover reveals something even more amazing.
It's a thrill, isn't it? And Matthew isn't the only one playing this intertextual game.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Mathewson also takes us to Ephesians 2.1.1.22.
All right, let's dive into Ephesians. What treasures did Dr. Mathewson find there?
This passage is all about how Jesus has broken down the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles, creating one new man. A united humanity reconciled to God.
Right.
And as you read it with an eye for Old Testament connections,
yeah,
you start to see echoes of all sorts of themes.
Okay.
Circumcision, covenants, the law, the prophets preaching peace.
Whoa, hold on, slow down. That's a lot to process.
It is a lot, yeah.
Can we unpack some of those connections? What does he say about circumcision and covenants?
Well, right from the start, Paul uses words that are loaded with Old Testament significance.
Okay.
Circumcision, of course, was the outward sign of the covenant between God and Abraham.
Yeah.
And the very idea of a covenant evokes this whole history of God's relationship with his people.
Right.
So by using those words, Paul is immediately signaling to his readers, hey, if you want to understand what I'm saying about Jesus and this new humanity, you need to remember your Old Testament.
It's like he's giving them a mental nudge.
It's exactly.
Saying, don't forget your roots.
And then there's that beautiful line about Jesus preaching peace.
Yeah.
To those who are far off and those who are near.
Right.
Dr. Mathewson connects this to passages like Isaiah 52.7 and 57.1 time.
Okay.
Where Isaiah talks about proclaiming peace and good news to both Jews and Gentiles.
So by echoing Isaiah, Paul is emphasizing that Jesus' mission is to bring peace and reconciliation to all people, regardless of their background.
Precisely.
And remember that striking phrase, one new man.
Yes.
It's not just a catchy slogan.
It's not, yeah.
Dr. Mathewson suggests that it's a deliberate echo of the new creation language that we find throughout Isaiah.
Right.
Especially in passages like Isaiah 43.19.
Uh-huh.
So Paul is suggesting that this new humanity, this unified body of believers in Christ,
yeah,
is like a microcosm of the new creation that God is bringing about.
Yes. It's this incredible picture of how God is taking broken, divided humanity,
right,
and creating something beautiful and new.
Yeah.
Something that reflects his own character of love and reconciliation.
Mm.
And this connection wouldn't be nearly as powerful if we weren't aware of those echoes from Isaiah.
Okay, I'm seeing the pattern here.
Yeah.
Every time we uncover an Old Testament connection, it adds a whole new layer of meaning and depth to the New Testament text.
Absolutely.
It's like those 3D pictures that suddenly pop out when you look at them from the right angle.
That's a great analogy.
And it's so rewarding to see how those connections can enrich our understanding of Scripture.
It really is.
It is. It's like we're unlocking secrets that have been hidden for centuries.
I know.
Okay, so we've seen how Matthew and Paul use these echoes and allusions.
Yep.
What about other New Testament authors?
Well, Dr. Mathewson actually saves his most challenging example for last.
Okay.
He wants to show us how even a difficult and often debated passage, like Hebrews 6.4-6, can be eliminated by its Old Testament connections.
Oh, tell me more. What is it about Hebrews 6.4-6? That makes it so ripe for an Old Testament deep dive?
This passage is a warning to those who have fallen away after experiencing the Christian faith.
Okay.
It talks about how it's impossible for them to be brought back to repentance.
Right.
Because they're essentially rejecting Christ all over again.
That's intense. I can see why it's a controversial passage.
It is.
People have strong opinions about what it means for salvation.
Yeah.
But you said Dr. Mathewson thinks the Old Testament can shed light on this.
He does. And he focuses on those vivid descriptions of the people being warned.
Okay.
They've tasted the heavenly gift, shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted the goodness of God's word, right, and the powers of the coming age.
Those are powerful images.
Yeah.
They paint a picture of people who have genuinely experienced the transformative power of the Christian faith.
Exactly. And that's why the warning is so stark.
Yeah.
It's not talking about people who've just dabbled in Christianity.
Right.
It's about those who've had a deep and profound encounter with Christ.
So where does the Old Testament come in?
Dr. Mathewson suggests that those descriptions of tasting, sharing, and experiencing might be echoes of Old Testament passages about Israel's covenant relationship with God.
Okay.
For example, Psalm 34.8 talks about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good.
Right.
And Exodus 24 describes the elders of Israel seeing God and eating and drinking in his presence.
So it's like the author of Hebrews is drawing on that Old Testament language of covenant to describe the depth of the Christian experience. Is not just about believing certain things.
Right.
It's about entering into a real relationship with God, just like Israel did in the Old Testament.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
In the Old Testament, we see Israel repeatedly breaking covenant with God.
Mm.
They turn away from him,
right,
worship other gods,
yeah,
and face the consequences of their unfaithfulness.
Right, yeah.
So if the author of Hebrews is using this Old Testament language of covenant,
right,
is he hinting that it's possible for Christians to break covenant with God as well?
Okay, that opens up a whole new can of worms.
It does.
I can see why this passage is so debated.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that contradict the idea that once you're saved, you're always saved?
That's the question that Dr. Mathewson wants us to grapple with. He's not giving us easy answers.
Right.
But he's inviting us to consider how the Old Testament backdrop might challenge our assumptions about salvation and the Christian life.
This is blowing my mind. I'm starting to see how studying the Bible with this kind of awareness can open up whole new avenues of interpretation.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's like we're being invited to join the conversation, to grapple with those big questions, and to wrestle with the text alongside generations of believers who've come before us.
And that wrestling is a good thing.
Yeah.
It shows that we're taking the Bible seriously.
Right.
That we're not just treating it as a rule book or a collection of inspirational quotes.
Right.
But as a living word that can speak to us in profound and transformative ways.
Well, I think it's safe to say that Dr. Mathewson has given us a lot to think about.
Yeah.
We've explored the different ways the New Testament uses the Old Testament. From those clear-cut direct quotations to those subtly brilliant allusions and echoes.
Right.
And we've seen how those connections can completely change how we understand familiar passages.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging us to think more deeply about God's plan and the relationship between the Old and New Covenants.
It's fascinating.
I'm definitely going to be looking for these connections every time I open my Bible now.
I think you will. Yeah.
I can't wait to continue exploring.
Yeah.
Thanks for being our guide on this deep dive today.
My pleasure.
It's like, you know, I was thinking about, I used to think of the Old and New Testaments as almost separate books.
Oh, really?
But what we've been talking about today,
yeah,
has completely changed my perspective.
Mm.
It's like they're having this ongoing conversation,
uh-huh,
echoing and riffing off each other in all these fascinating ways.
Yeah, it's like a symphony,
right,
with different instruments playing different melodies,
okay,
but all coming together to create this incredibly rich and complex piece of music.
Right.
And the more you listen,
uh-huh,
the more you hear those subtle harmonies and counterpoints.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And I think what's really striking me is how these connections can challenge us to rethink our assumptions.
Yeah.
Like that example from Hebrews, it really makes you wonder,
yeah,
about the nature of salvation and the possibility of turning away from God even after experiencing his grace.
Yes. And I think that's what makes studying the Bible so rewarding.
Yeah.
It's not just about finding proof texts for what we already believe.
Right.
It's about allowing those ancient words to confront us, to stretch our understanding of God and his ways.
Yeah. It's like we're being invited to join the conversation, to grapple with those big questions.
Exactly.
And to wrestle with the text alongside generations of believers who've come before us.
And that wrestling is a good thing.
Yeah.
It shows that we're taking the Bible seriously, that we're not just treating it as a rule book or a collection of inspirational quotes,
yep,
but as a living word that can speak to us in profound and transformative ways.
it definitely feels like we've only just scratched the surface today.
We have, yeah.
I'm already seeing the Bible in a whole new light.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to keep exploring these connections.
It's exciting, yeah.
Any final words of wisdom for our listeners as they embark on their own treasure hunts through Scripture?
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to challenge your own assumptions. What? And most importantly, don't be afraid to let the Bible surprise you.
Yeah.
You might be amazed by what you discover.
I think that's the perfect note to end on.
Great.
Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive into the world of the Bible. We'll see you next time for another adventure in biblical exploration.